You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. A terror attack in Iran heightens tensions among adversaries. Expect a heightened cyber op tempo. A jet vulnerability in Microsoft products is publicly disclosed as Microsoft misses the zero-day initiative's 120-day deadline. France will open-source its secure operating system. UK and US attitudes continue to stiffen towards Russia in cyberspace. Russian elections are surprising by Russian standards. And some notes on some current scams. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, September 24th, 2018. Saturday's terrorist attack on a military parade in the Iranian city of Ahvaz killed at least 29, 12 members of the Revolutionary Guard and 17 civilian spectators, including children and the elderly. Ahvaz is in Khuzestan, a province on the Iraqi border with a large ethnic Arab population. That Arab population is to a significant extent Sunni, which is a source of religious difference with the Shiite Islamic Republic. Responsibility for the murders has, according to various reports, been claimed by several groups, including ISIS and the Ahvaz National Resistance, which is an Arab opposition group that operates a television station from its expatriate perch in London. ISIS has distributed video through its Amaq news outlet that purports to show the attackers, but there have been no reports of any of the attackers, some of whom are thought to have been taken alive by Iranian authorities, claiming allegiance to ISIS. Tehran attributes the attack to the separatist Patriotic Arab Democratic Movement in Ahvaz, which on its website has denied any involvement in the attacks, but the Islamic Republic places ultimate blame on the US, the UK, and the Arab Gulf states, especially Saudi Arabia, whom Tehran considers U.S. and U.K. clients. The U.S. has dismissed all Iranian claims of involvement. Tensions have been high in any case over renewed U.S. economic sanctions, suspicion of Iran's nuclear and missile programs, the ongoing civil war in Syria, and increased Iranian involvement in offensive cyber operations. Iran has promised vengeance for the terror attack, and it's received expressions of support from such sympathetic parties as the Assad regime in Syria and the Hezbollah. renewed cyber conflict, and at a heightened operational tempo may be expected. The Zero Day Initiative at the end of last week reported a vulnerability in the Microsoft Jet database engine. It's said to affect all versions of Windows. Trend Micro, which discovered the issue, disclosed it to Microsoft. The Zero Day Initiative has gone public with a disclosure because 120 days have elapsed since Redmond was notified. The vulnerability, according to the Zero Day Initiative, is an out-of-bounds write issue that could be used to, quote, execute code under the context of the current process, end quote. Exploitation would require user interaction. You'd have to open a malicious file. The Jet database engine is bundled with Windows. Several Microsoft products use it, among them Microsoft Office. The Register says that Zero Patch has promised to offer its own fix. Zero Patch has been tweeting about the vulnerability. There's no patch yet from Microsoft. Many hope to see one on October's Patch Tuesday. It's believed Redmond is working on one. ANSSI, France's National Information Security Agency, is asking outsiders to contribute to the development of ClipOS, ANSSI's Linux-based security-optimized operating system. The decision to open source an operating system intended to be secure by design is interesting and will bear watching. Tough talk about Russian cyber operations and the prospect of Western retaliation has been emerging from both the U.S. and the U.K. The recently published U.S. cyber strategy continues to receive both high marks from observers and press headlines like Security Week's U.S. takes off the gloves in global cyber wars or foreign policies. Trump has a new weapon to cause the cyber mayhem. It's not quite unleash the Kraken, but the strategy is an assertive evolution of past U.S. policy. In the U.K., The Telegraph reports that former MI5 director General Dame Stella Rimington told a conference that Britain should respond to Russia by meeting aggression with a certain degree of aggression. Rimington led MI5, the domestic counterintelligence service, from 1992 to 96. Russian regional elections appear not to have gone entirely as Moscow would have wished. The contests in the country's 85 regions are not usually expected to turn up results other than those the Kremlin desires. In this case, several of the elections were more hotly contested than is normal. Two incumbent regional governors lost, by which Russian standards is surprising to say the least. The outcome is thought by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and others to have been sparked by widespread dissatisfaction with recent revisions to the national pension system that would have required workers to delay retirement. Thus, pensions would appear to be a third rail of Russian politics, as Social Security is said to be the third rail of American politics. It should go without saying, but unfortunately, it does not, that U.S. federal tax, investigation, or law enforcement organizations will not telephone to ask you to pay a fine with your credit card, which they'll be happy to take on the spot for your convenience. The U.S. Marshals Service is warning that just such a scam is pestering residents of the aptly named city of Marshall, Texas. Someone is calling people up and telling them they've failed to report for jury duty and that they face either a fine or jail time. Of course, you should report for jury duty. It's just good citizenship. But this call is bogus. Ignore it and don't give the caller your credit card number. Finally, what's the hot commodity these days in dark web markets? Stolen frequent flyer miles, that's what. Please don't be a buyer.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Thank you.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Ben Yellen. He's a senior law and policy analyst at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, welcome back. We had an interesting article come by. This is from Ars Technica. Sarus Farivar, who's been a guest on our show before, he wrote this article. The title is Cheese Danish Shipping, Warrantless GPS Trackers, and a Border Doctrine Challenge. What's going on here?
I cannot write a drama with a storyline this compelling, and I don't think any of our best writers could do so. So basically, the FBI started investigating a suspected drug trafficker and was following this tracker's vehicle when they crossed the border in Southern California, the Mexican border, in 2016. And the smugglers were using the shield of a Starbucks vehicle, claiming that they were shipping cheese Danishes to Starbucks locations throughout Southern California. Mm-hmm. In fact, this was a drug smuggling operation. The FBI, based on investigative work they had done, suspected that it was a drug smuggling operation. So they attached a GPS device, physically attached it to this vehicle, realized what was going on, and initiated a prosecution for drug trafficking. And a judge recently held in this case that the attachment of a GPS device without a warrant is unconstitutional. And it's an interesting case because there are sort of two competing legal concepts here. Hmm. On the one side, the Supreme Court has held that you generally do not need a warrant to conduct searches at the border. That is what we call a special needs apart from the normal criminal investigatory process we associate with law enforcement. Basically, we want to be able to check people's stuff at the border because we want to make sure we're not letting in bad people who are bringing in unsafe things.
Right.
Then there's the separate doctrine that comes out of the United States v. Jones case. And in that case, the Supreme Court held that it is unconstitutional to physically attach a GPS device to a vehicle without a warrant. And that's what happened here. And I think this judge's rationalization was this no longer became a simple border search because the surveillance was pervasive, going far beyond the border. They were tracking this vehicle as it made its way from the Mexican border all the way through Los Angeles. So if you have sort of two competing legal doctrines here, I think the Jones doctrine of disallowing the warrantless attachment of a GPS device is more compelling in this particular case.
And so the FBI was, I suppose, trying to make the case that because they attach this GPS tracker at the border, that the border exemption would take place here.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I think will make it up through our court system, because I don't think this particular scenario is one the Supreme Court has directly addressed. I think the border exception to the warrant requirement was for physical searches at the border, you know, doing warrantless searches of people's cellular devices. That's obviously been a controversial issue, but checking people's suitcases. Again, this is part of a special needs exception for our national security. But, you know, I can understand the reasoning in this case. How far is that exception going to extend? Could you attach a GPS device, some sort of tracking device on a person, and follow that person the rest of his life or her life just because that person happened to cross the border?
Or a listening device.
I think all of us would consider that a major invasion of privacy. So I think because this wasn't a traditional border search, I think the border search exception was not well applied in this case.
Now, is there, in the eyes of the law, is there a fundamental difference between a search and tracking? Are those different things, or does something like a GPS tracker fall into the Fourth Amendment definition of searching?
So it's actually a very interesting case. Everybody sort of assumed in the last 40 years that the court had moved away from a physical trespass standard for determining whether there was a search. So up until the 1960s, there wasn't really a Fourth Amendment search in our legal system unless somebody physically trespassed on your property, usually law enforcement. That changed in a decision called Katz v. United States, where the court held that it wasn't simply a physical invasion that would cause a search, but rather a violation of a person's reasonable expectation of privacy. what was unique about this GPS device case, United States v. Jones in 2012, is that Justice Scalia, in his majority opinion, held that they need not decide whether this was a violation of a reasonable expectation of privacy because this was a traditional Fourth Amendment search. By physically placing that GPS device on a vehicle, that was a physical trespass in the way that searches had been understood up until the 1960s, and that was sufficient to establish a Fourth Amendment search. So unlike other forms of surveillance that are purely electronic, we talk about cell site location information, other types of surveillance, here you actually do have a physical invasion of somebody's personal property. A car is an effect. The language of the Fourth Amendment says you can't have unreasonable searches and seizures against effects. A car is an effect, according to our Supreme Court. So they held that you cannot have a warrantless attachment, physical attachment of a GPS device on a vehicle. Now, I think five justices in that case also seemed to agree that it also violated a person's reasonable expectation of privacy, which would have broader implications for Fourth Amendment jurisprudence. But when we're talking specifically about GPS devices, it's according to the Supreme Court, the physical intrusion that really matters.
Hmm. All right. Well, as always, Ben Yellen, thanks for explaining it to us. Good talking to you as always. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire Daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.